boundaries from ground zero and beyond. To fully appreciate how clearly the Gra foresaw the current war between the USA and Islam, between Esav and Yishmael, you have to take a look at a map of Manhattan. The vast empty pit, which is all that remains at the Twin Tower site, is bordered by four streets. The four streets which surround Ground Zero, incredibly, bear names which altogether sum up precisely what Osama bin Laden was aiming to destroy. West Street. Osama was targeting the epicenter of economic activity in the West. Liberty Street. The president justified war on the Taliban as a defense against those who wish to destroy liberty. Church Street. Islam has been at war with the Church of Rome and all of its branches on and off again for 1,000 years. And finally, Vesey Street. My friends, Vesey spelled backwards is Esav. The Gaon of Vilna describes a burning fuse followed by an explosion giving rise to the reign of Mashiach. The burning fuse is World War III, a final epic battle between Esav and Yishmael. The explosion is Melchemes Gog Magog. That war will only last 12 minutes, according to the Gra. It will take 12 minutes to bring all mankind to its knees. The world will bow before Mashiach ben David and acknowledge the final borders of Israel, extending as far east as the river Paras, the Euphrates, flowing through Syria and Iraq. But before the final borders of Israel are set in stone, the entire world will be in turmoil over borders. Today, in the UN, almost every nation on earth repeatedly challenges Israel's claim to even its current perilously narrow borders. Meanwhile, another global battle over borders is raging. In the words of the Gra, Esav and Yishmael lead the 70 root nations out of which all mankind springs. The nations influenced by Esav and Yishmael are now engaged in bloody battles which are blurring borders worldwide. U.S. Armed Forces, Esav's final proxy, have crushed Islamic regimes in Afghanistan and Iraq. American troops in Iraq now patrol the borders of Syria and Iran. Totalitarian regimes in Syria, Iran, and Libya have been badly shaken by the humiliating fall and capture of Saddam Hussein. Their fear of American air and land forces crossing their own borders is very real. They are all sending clear distress signals, offering to negotiate differences or open nuclear energy production centers to invasive unannounced inspections. And U.S. borders are now under intense wartime scrutiny. The American public has been repeatedly warned of credible threats of an impending terror strike to rival or surpass the assault on 9/11. But tools to trigger mega destruction crossing borders worldwide are only the outer expression of a much deeper struggle over cultural borders. The Islamic world hates, abhors, condemns Western culture. But the learned among us know that the evil we see in others is a mirror image of the evil that exists within us. Recognizing evil in others is a form of self-recognition. Yishmael, the para-Adam, loses his head in pursuit of what he desires. His imagination runs wild. He will sacrifice his own life and widow his own wife to fetch 70 more to replace her. 10 Kav of Znus came down to the world. 9 were taken by Yishmael. Did you ever see a kid impulsively insisting he wants something that's self-destructive? Leave him alone and he'll smoke himself to death or choose another poison out of blind, reckless desire. Yishmael is a wild man, al taiva no seichel, spreading terror and chaos in pursuit of his heart's desire. Esav, on the other hand, is a control freak with gaiva, a superiority complex. He looks to civilize, sanitize and democratize the Islamic nations to clean house, end tyranny, and open closed societies to Western culture. If Yishmael is a hothead, Esav is cool and calculating, like the German overseers of checklists and selections in the Jewish ghettos of Europe. Today, a more benign, less menacing face of Esav directs the military, economic, and cultural conquest of the world from Washington, D.C. Esav is employing cool calculation to control an ever-expanding swath of the Islamic world. Yishmael is buckling under pressure as it is forced to submit to a Western world order in which social values and standards flow from Hollywood rather than the Quran. At the same time, Islamic fundamentalist rage is being stoked to high intensity. Esav's trespassing into Islamic lands is viewed by many Muslims as a gross violation and humiliation. The blurring of cultural boundaries has heightened insecurity worldwide. The next terrorist strike and military counterstrike are all but inevitable. Esav, blessed with vastly superior resources, will continue to pummel and weaken Yishmael before he comes face to face with the only force on earth that can neutralize his own power and influence, namely Mashiach ben Yosef. Before rising to power, Yosef the slave seized control of Olam Hazeh before Olam Hazeh could seize control of him. He managed to master use of the material world for the sake of heaven, rather than becoming a slave to the material world by succumbing to the seduction of Eshes Potiphar. In turn, Mida Keneged Mida, Yosef rose to rule over Olam Hazeh. When Hashem made him the greatest money baron in history, feeding and supporting not only his own family, but the entire world. Like a flame-consuming straw, Mashiach ben Yosef will burn away the gaiva of Esav, who seeks to control this world for his own sake. Esav's cultural coercion, persuasion, and negotiations worldwide will end when Mashiach ben Yosef replaces Esav as the final source and arbiter of ultimate values. Esav long ago succumbed to the seductive lie that the highest goal in this world is pursuit of happiness, words immortalized in the Declaration of Independence. Esav will be supplanted by Yosef, whose highest pleasure derives from utilizing this world not for the pursuit of happiness, but for the pursuit of truth. Happiness is not the goal of life on earth. Happiness is the result. Happiness is just another word for a rewarding life. And a rewarding life belongs exclusively to those willing to pay any price in self-sacrifice to do what is right. Not to do what makes us happy, but to do what is right. That depends on knowing what is right, on knowing the truth. Learning Torah to know the truth and to act on it is Judaism's core value. Lilmod la'asais, learning in order to do what is right. There is a popular misconception among assimilated Jews that Judaism's core value is rectifying the world through kindness. Learned Jews can cite many examples of misplaced kindness amounting to cruelty. For example, King Saul sparing the life of Agag, thereby allowing the seed of Amalek to live on to destroy Jewish lives. Shlomo HaMelech recognized in Kehelet that there is a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to wreck and a time to build. Only study of Torah can enlighten our eyes to know how to achieve every purpose under the heavens. Learning Torah to know the truth and to act on it is Judaism's core value. Lilmod la'asais, learning in order to do what is right. The final triumph of Mashiach ben Yosef over Esav will resolve all confusion about cultural boundaries. The final source or arbiter of values will be a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik. Once Esav, the most influential disseminator of values on earth, is supplanted by Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David will be ready to settle final scores with Yishmael, resolve all confusion about geographic boundaries, and establish his kingdom. Then, from Tzion, the Torah will go forth, and the knowledge of Hashem and his Ratzon for our lives will fill the earth. When this Tekufa of enlightenment arrives, we will all understand the words of Chazal that a tzaddik and a rasha enjoy all the same pleasures in this world. What distinguishes one from the other? The tzaddik dedicates himself to learning Torah and therefore knows the proper time and place and measure for every purpose and pleasure under the heavens. He enjoys perpetual simchas achayim. A rasha lacks das Torah. In turn, he becomes obsessed with pursuit of pleasures he can never fully satisfy because he lives without boundaries. He looks for pleasure even at the wrong time, even when he is out of place, and errs by overindulging. This leads him to burnout. He lives a sorry and depressed existence. The blurring of boundaries is the root of all unhappiness. Just prior to the current sustained security meltdown in Israel, I was in Jerusalem. On the day I was scheduled to fly back to New York, I was walking out of Or Sameach Jerusalem into the street. Four Rebbeim from Or Sameach were just then getting into a taxi and told me to join them. I asked them where they were going, and they just insisted I get in. Roped in for the ride, we set off, at which point I learned we were going to a wedding reception for Hafez, the Arab head custodian at Or Sameach. I smiled and said, "You have to be kidding." Or Sameach long ago fired all of their Arab employees, except for Hafez, who has been around for 30 years. He's an interesting guy who yells at American boys who don't put on tefillin in the morning. So we are driving out to the Atarot industrial zone. The taxi finally pulls into a little Arab village in front of the Arab wedding hall. We step out and into the building, five Orthodox rabbis wearing black from head to toe. Reaching the second floor, we saw a room full of women sitting around the chasen and kala. I don't know what the chasen was doing in the women's section, but you couldn't miss the separation of men and women at this affair. I guess Arabs also have some boundaries. We proceeded to the third floor and entered a large room filled with Arab men, all of whom were suddenly gazing at us with extreme interest. We sat down, and Hafez came over with glasses of oranges. We said no thank you, but wished him mazel tov. Upon stepping out of the building, I immediately noticed a car we figured must be waiting for the chasen and kala. This was no long black stretch limo, but probably a 1958 Chevy. It had two front antennas and on top, two small Palestinian flags fluttering in the wind. Right before stepping out of the building, I actually felt safe. I knew Arabs are not inclined to murder their guests, having inherited their Hachnasis Orchim from Avraham Avinu. But I also knew that once you step out of the building into the street, you are fair game. Any of the Arab guests inside might step out and gun us down without a qualm of conscience. It is this astonishing confusion of boundaries that Jews in Israel face every day. We face an enemy with a Nazi's lack of mercy, yet he excels in Hachnasis Orchim. We face an enemy who is literally a hybrid animal-man, a para-adam, torn between the animal and angelic sides of his nature. We face an enemy Hashem has tailor-made to mirror us, that we might come to see in him our own core conflict, our own confusion of boundaries, our own failure to reconcile the animal and angelic dimensions in our own nature. In the schus of our rededicating our lives to learning today like there is no tomorrow, and through a malice in learning to drawing and honoring clear boundaries between right and wrong, good and evil, mitzvahis and aveirais, may we see the Geula Shalema b'mhera v'yameinu amen.